Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Medicines from around the world. The planet is once again listening to the technology show for Generation E. Mick Williams Cyberline coming at you around the world via the internet, coast to coast via satellite, USA Radio Network. All right, well, greetings and welcome to the second hour. And I was challenged in the first hour about brand loyalty. And you had asked me if I was loyal to my brand.
Yeah.
I thought that was an odd question for you to ask, considering you know my brand, and you know I'm very loyal of it.
Well, which one is it?
That would be HTC.
Okay.
And yes, I am very loyal to my brand.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I've stuck with the Samsung phones.
Yeah.
And, I like them and everything, and they've got some good stuff in there. But really, I've sure been debating whether or not I want to just pick up something that's less expensive, because, you know, we're looking at $1,000 for the newest phones out there.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I don't want to spend that kind of money on these things. And I don't know that I need to stick with just the best phone that's out there.
And I'm impressed with Samsung. I've got no problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing with Samsung is, again, you're starting to see all of these prices creeping up.
Yeah.
Close to 1,000, and the 9 has broke that, and so is the 10 and the XS and all these others. And, you know, I could sit back. I think it was the HTC, as I was eyeballing, where at the 10, I think it was the 8 or the 9, and it was around $699.
Right.
They even gave you a payment plan, no interest, pay it off, you're not beholden to the carrier, and you're done. And it was unlocked, ready to go, had all the great features on it, and then they moved to the U10. But I kind of held back on the 11 because they started adding the glass back,
mm-hmm.
just like the Samsung and others. And you break that glass back, you are screwed.
Right.
You're going to have to go get a new phone. And I just hold back a little bit and kind of watching and saw the price was like $699. Then at the point they're kind of getting rid of that inventory and coming out with the next model. Hey, we'll give it to you for $399. Hey, we'll give it to you for $299.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you hold off a little bit, you get some great technology and be able to do it. And one of the things I found about it, you know, I told you that day I put it in that Eco ATM thing to see how much mine was worth, and they said it was $5.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fine by me, man. It gets the job done.
I will tell you what's neat about that, though, is the $5 thing is that you can go in and you can get a refurb a lot cheaper because of that $5, you know, because they're picking up these phones.
Yeah.
And the refurbished phones aren't bad. My daughter got one. And I didn't get one myself, but I think I'd gotten a discount, a really good discount on the phone that I'd got. The refurbished ones are not bad as far as they give you everything. Usually they're in great shape, or the ones I've seen are. My daughter's was great, and she's used it. It's been a fantastic phone for her. My son, he got one too. Fantastic phone for him. And I'm liking the prices that I see online. I'll just go up to Amazon and see what they are.
And one of the things I've been impressed with is every HTC I've owned,
mm-hmm.
from the G1 in the beginning forward, I've never had a screen crack, never had an issue with a screen.
Well, I've had issues, but overall, and I have broken a screen once or twice, a couple times, actually, because I, you know, run, if you just drop them, and sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
But overall, I've been pretty good on the screens overall. And like this phone I've got right here, I've had it over a year and haven't broken the screen. Yay. I mean, I don't want to jinx myself. So
yeah.
You know, now I'm going to go home.
The only problem I ever had with them was I had a lot of the ones that had the sliding keyboard,
mm-hmm.
because I like having the keyboard. And there's a cable that goes up and connects to the screen, and it would get munched as you open and close it and then cut the digitizer off. Then you had to go get a digitizer top and replace it. It was very easily done. But most of the problems I got with were the keyboard. where uh-huh. the buttons either wouldn't work or the letters would fall off. And I was like, oh, time to buy a new phone. But I had dropped my HTC, my current one, face down on a concrete driveway in front of my dad's house. Mm-hmm. I was aiming from my pocket, and I missed, went down, and I thought I was so screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked that thing up, and it was perfectly fine. Came on,
right.
No cracks, everything. I was like, wow, suck it, Samson.
Well, there's no doubt the best insurance policy for these things is getting yourself a case.
Yeah, well, I've got one around mine, too.
Case, and I, you know, that was the first thing I realized is I usually don't buy the insurance policies because the you know, you get the insurance policies, you're paying a bundle for the insurance, and then all of a sudden you get, if you have to use it, then guess what? You've got a deductible that you got to pay.
I bought SquareTrade, and I paid, I think it was like $89 for 2 years, and they let you split it up over the course of time. So I was paying somewhere between $4 and $8 a month for it, which is typical of what you normally would get through Assurion. But with Assurion, Assurion is like a lifetime. And then they kept going up and up and up. Now you're paying $11, $12, $13 a month, depending on the type of phone.
Mm-hmm.
But what I liked about it was 2 years. It covered everything except for lost or stolen. So that was a little bit of a butt pucker because you want to make sure you don't lose and steal your phone, where Assurion would cover the whole gamut.
Right.
But what I liked about it was $89 for 2 years. You paid it off over the 2 years, and you were done.
All right. Are they still around?
Yes. In fact, Allstate bought them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're now a division of Allstate. So I had insurance for 2 years on the phone. If anything happened to it, I paid a deductible of $75, and I got it taken care of. Okay. And they either would send one out or they felt it was fixable. There's a place where I live called the Memory Bank. They're an authorized worker for Assurion, or not Assurion, for SquareTrade. And you can go in there, and they'd fix it for you, and you pay the deductible and a lot of that stuff they could do. But once the 2 years was over, I didn't owe any more money on the insurance. And that's generally also about the time you're looking at going, I like that phone over there.
Right.
And then you turn around and get that phone, go put a SquareTrade on it, and then keep that for another 2 years. And again, just be sure you don't lose the phone or have the phone, you know, stolen, and you're okay. And I like that because I can run the phone another 1 or 2 years. Well, if it dies out on me, I'm probably looking at buying another phone anyway. And I don't have all of this, you know, being on the lifeline.
You know, it does beg the question, are these phones getting more and more sturdy? Because this
phone, I think they're getting less.
You really?
And I'll tell you why. Because when I dropped that HTC, that was right about the time the Galaxy S8 came out. And everybody I've talked to didn't even have it but 2 months, not even 2 weeks, and their screens are getting shattered.
Wow.
They either accidentally dropped it or dropped it on the carpet and it broke and all this stuff. And I think what's happening is these things are getting thinner, so is the glass. And I've had people that have OtterBoxes around them and still would break, which blows my mind because I use OtterBoxes on my iPads. I've never had a problem.
Well, I'd still like to see it. It would be wonderful if they published the stats on that kind
of
stuff.
It would be nice,
but I'm sure that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Don't want to freak the public out. They might not buy the phones. But, yeah, something like SquareTrade, put on the phone. You know, you got your malfunction warranty for 12 months. That gives you an additional year. Coverage after that if something happens when the malfunction goes out. And for $89, and I pay it, you know, $4 to $8 a month, depending on what I get, I thought it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not tied down to any carrier. I'm not tied down to anything. Once it's done, it's done. And by that time, you're probably looking for another phone. You start the whole cycle all over again.
Well, I'll be looking to probably trade up sometime soon. But again, waiting for the 5G to come out, and I'll be buying a phone then.
Yeah.
And I don't have to, like I said, I don't have to stick with Samsung. Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
And we'll see. Remember, we saw that thing, it was a couple months ago at the Mobile World Conference. They had that display and video that we looked at on your computer of the U12 or something of that caliber. It looked like a U12 mock-up.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys were like doing gigabits per second.
Yeah.
Remember, they looked like it was 5G, and they're picking off the Wi-Fi and mixing it together and everything, and they're doing well over, like 11 or 12 gigabits per second.
Yep, slick stuff.
Yeah, so I'm sure those phones will come down in price, and I'll rub my chin and go, maybe it's time to upgrade to that HTC. So we'll see what happens with that. Okay, and you got something on the docket there. What you got going on?
Yeah, I was reading over Bloomberg Business Week. They've got a story over there called The Big Hack. It's a series.
The
and
like the big sleep and the big short.
Yeah, they've got an article over there. It's written by Jordan Robertson and Michael Riley. Let's see, how China used a tiny chip to infiltrate America's top computers companies.
Hmm.
So it's pretty scary because in 2015, and that's what their article says, Amazon.com was going to work with this startup. And the startup made streaming hardware as really good stuff, and they wanted to check into it, acquire it. Well, they brought it on in, started doing their testing on it to do due diligence to make sure everything was up. And when they went through it, they were like, they're running their security tests on there, and they were like, there's something wrong here. Something's going on. And when they started looking into it deeper, the company was great that they were working with. But what had happened is they took their hardware and they had it produced. They had it worked over in China. They had it built over there.
Of course.
Well, they get these boards back and they're using them. And like I said, good stuff. Everything's solid on there. Well, there was one extra chip added to the board.
The Chinese chip.
Yes. It was one extra chip, little bitty chip, about the half the size of a grain of rice.
Yes, and cleverly hidden between the Malaysian chip and the South Korean chip.
Yeah, it was very, very tiny. It was on there, and when they looked, what ended up happening is they looked at the motherboard, and they wanted to see exactly, they looked at all the specs that they'd sent over to China to have them work on it. When they got this back, they had that found that little chip, and they figured out that, you know, this is basically a little bitty tiny full-blown computer at the size of a grain of sand. And what it would allow is it actually allowed network access into that system and thereby exposing the entire system to some anything that the Chinese government wanted to come in and hack. So that's where it's looking like. I mean, looking at it, and the article is amazing. And
oh, wow, there's a picture of somebody's thumb.
Yeah, if you look at it, it is as tiny as a chip could be. But if you've got stuff like this and you're dealing with China and they're coming over here and they're actually invading our systems, I got to tell you, that's pretty scary stuff. If this was really supported by the Chinese government or... not sure exactly who it was supported by, but whoever put this on there, I mean, that really, that's a major violation. Not just minor, but this is like, when we deal in days of all these computers, it's like warfare. I mean, I don't want to go too far, but when you're actually able to invade the cyberspace of another country...
Yeah.
That just scares the heck out of me.
See, I like the Chinese as a country and a person. I think they do pretty good over there. They got some decent products, and they've been pretty good traders until they started messing with us and Trump telling them the what for. But the point of the matter is, though, guys, you know, you want us to buy your products and you want to buy ours and everybody else's, but we can't trust you if you're putting stuff in there like this. Why would we want to buy your products?
Right. And there we go.
And there we go. It just comes up most inopportune times. We gotta take a break for these crash commercial messages that keep interrupting us. But we'll be back in a little bit, and we'll continue on with that. So we'll be back with the Grain of Rice computer. You're listening to McWilliams Cyber. Mick Williams, CyberLife with you, 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US, or 844-723-4687. Okay, so we were talking about the computer chip and the grain of rice.
Yeah, but think about what an advantage it is for a country to be able to go into the servers of any other country. Or, I mean, just, and you got two things going on there. If you're able to go into the national security of a country and find out all their top secrets, then you've got a decided advantage. You take those secrets and you make them your own, and then they're able to, over there, they're able to reproduce our technologies on doing whatever they do.
And that's part of the deal with, remember a couple of years ago, Huawei, a big 60 Minutes thing where the State Department was blocking them from selling their network pieces and stuff they were putting into the mobile system. And Cisco and all these others were coming and glued. And come to find out that they were putting software and stuff in the boxes, was able to monitor traffic and all sorts of stuff. And that's why Huawei ended up getting in trouble. ZTE had a similar issue with their phones. And now they're banned for, I think, 5 years from doing any business in the U.S.
Right. Yeah, there's so much data that's coming through these systems nowadays. And there's so much bandwidth available for them to do stuff like this. It gets pretty scary. But you've got the, you know, that's half the stuff we're talking about the national security stuff. And that's a big half. Don't get me wrong. You could, if you, especially if you can invade other systems and perhaps shut them down because you produce the chips that are running on those systems. So that's one of the things that I'm very interested in. You know, we've got the current administration that is having an issue with China. And the other half of what's going on is you're also seeing companies out there that, again, these same systems are being installed in many companies around the globe, and including the United States. And if they are able to get secrets from those systems, it's a very scary proposition. These are the types of things that you really have to worry about. And if they're able to get all of our intellectual property, and that is, they don't have to pay the money to do the research. They just take what we have and figure out how to just reproduce it over there without paying any royalties, without having to do any of the costs that are associated with this research. Then they get a tremendous benefit by just taking it. And those are, again, those are the issues that our current administration has with this company, with this country over there, that a lot of the things that they're doing.
And that's another thing going back like to the whole Huawei thing. You know, you have all these boxes in our networks and everybody else's networks, and say something went along to where all they had to do was flip a switch and the software in there went nuts, and the next thing you know, it's blocking traffic on our end. Imagine that they would have just flip a switch and all your traffic that's going along our towers and our communications grinds to a halt because all these boxes are blocking IP ports and everything else to where nothing can go anywhere.
Right.
That would really bring everything down to a halt.
So when we get back to the whole issue of where are our motherboards, where is our computer software, not computer software so much, but the computer hardware produced, what country is it produced in? It's an important issue. Where are all the chips on that motherboard coming from? A lot of them do come from China.
Maybe we need to start talking to the Netherlands on bringing them up to chip and board manufacturing. That way we have somebody we can trust.
Right. And Europe, yeah, I'd like to see more stuff produced here.
And that's another thing, too. You know, they just had that thing a couple of weeks ago they agreed on to kill NAFTA and replace with the USMCA, US-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. And one of the things I liked about it was, versus the other one, is the IP ramifications of intellectual property and patents and things like that. And so that's kind of tightened it up. So maybe either Canada or Mexico could get into the game and be able to produce chips and boards and stuff to where we'd have it amongst our end and be not having to deal with the Chinese so much. I think that would be a nice thing. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. This is the Gleam Cyberline.